Yeah.
Thank you.
Recording has started.
Thank you. Good day, everyone. My name is Rob Hogarth of the ICANN policy team. David Olive is on vacation, and he asked me to play the welcoming slash MC role for the call today. Susie Johnson is also on vacation, so Kim Carlson is sitting in for her on our call logistics, making sure that everything's running on time. So thanks for that, Kim. As I understand, the purpose of today's call is to gather input from the chairs of the CCWG accountability chartering organizations on proposed new cost control mechanisms. Now, this is part of step two of a two-step approach to produce reliable estimates for the cost of the transition and accountability work and to manage costs going forward. I understand that step one has already been completed, and now that you all have reliable estimates and those are available, it's time for you all to agree to a way forward to establishing the appropriate cost control mechanisms. And to help you all do that, on today's call, we've got Shireen Chalabi, the chair of the Board Finance Committee, Xavier Calvez, the CFO of ICANN, and Bernie Turcotte, the specialist and detail expert on all things costs and implementation work. And so they'll all be here today to help you through the discussion. David and Shireen worked on a draft agenda, and Mathieu, you may also have been involved in this, that we've got in the pod of the agenda on the Adobe Connect room. I'll give everyone a couple of moments just to look that over and see if there's anything that you'd like to add or subtract from that agenda. Hearing nothing, I guess we'll proceed with that. Kim, I'd like to do just a quick confirmation of the attendees on the call. Can you run through a quick roll call based on who you know is on the line and who are the participants in the AC room, please?
Sorry about that. I was muted. On the bridge, we have Alan, Olaf, Teresa, and Thomas, and Thomas is not on the Adobe room. Shireen, James, Julia, Mathieu, and Teresa are on the Adobe room.
Great, thank you. And just for bookkeeping or housekeeping purposes, I wanted to confirm this call is being recorded. We will have a recording and a transcription. As some of you have shared, this is vacation season, so a number of other folks are also not able to join the call. So we will have that information available as well. Shireen, I will turn over the microphone to you to conduct the introduction and purpose for the call. I'll let you generally run the call, but we'll be happy to play traffic cop in terms of cues for any comments or anything like that. But Shireen, over to you.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you very much, and thank you, everyone, for attending during the holiday season. As Rob said, we set up this project cost control, cost support team to assist the CCWG co-chairs and actually all of us, the community, to obtain reliable information about projects of significant size. And we set it up in two steps. The first one was to produce the reliable estimates, which they did. And I believe they reviewed the outcome and their estimates with the co-chairs. And a note went out and everybody, the community, including the SO and AC leaders, saw the breakdown of the cost. The next step is to talk about how collectively and jointly together we set up some cost control mechanisms going forward. And here we proposed in a letter which we sent to the co-chairs on 28th of June 2016, five cost control mechanisms. The first one is the concept of introducing budget owners for the next stage of accountability work, particularly the IRP Phase 2 and the accountability WS2, as well as other projects taking place, example transition implementation and other things. So that's a new concept which we as a community have not been accustomed to in the past. So we would like input and from the CCWG co-chair as well as the SO and AC leaders on the concept of budget ownership. The second cost control mechanism is if we do agree on the concept of budget ownership, what will be the responsibility of the budget owner? And we broke down the costs and the estimate into sort of five categories of costs: staff support, travel and meetings, telecom and languages, external legal services, and other professional services. Now, we don't believe that budget owners should have responsibility for staff support or telecom language services and so on and so forth. That will not be fair and will not be right. But I think things like the cost of travel, excluding staff and meetings, the use of external legal services, the use of other professional services, would be within the remit of a budget owner, and that a budget owner should have some latitude in making trade-offs between these various costs. So we'd like to have a discussion on the responsibility of budget owners, if that's okay. So that's the second mechanism. Part of that as well, of the second mechanism, is that we would like to consider budget as a firm amount. And if they were to be exceeded, there should be a process for authorization. And the one that's been suggested here is that if, for example, the budget for WS2 for some reason needs to be exceeded, the budget owners would need to go to the chartering organization and ask for approval before submitting it to the board, and the board then agrees with the funding. The third one, the third accountability, is drilling down on external legal advice. We all know the value of external legal advice. Has been very, very helpful during WS1, and I'm sure that many in the CCWG felt that their input and their contribution was a great success and helped us tremendously, and we'd wish to continue for using external legal. And I think we're all kind of in agreement along that line. But what we are saying is we need to wrap a budget around the amount that we need to use legal advisors and be a little bit more clear on how we're going to use them. So, for example, for Workstream 2 accountability, the overall budget for FY17 is 2.988 million, of which 1.4 million is for external legal advice. So we'd like to have a discussion on how do we contain this budget, all right? So that's the third one. The fourth one is, it is really related to the third, is the procurement. Should there be a procurement process for external legal counsel? We are suggesting, for example, the establishment of a legal committee, reporting to the co-chairs, and that the legal committee filters and analyzes the various requests that come throughout the work that's taking place with the community, and then requests a proposal from independent legal counsel. So that's the fourth control mechanism. And finally, the fifth one is tracking and reporting of expenditure. We have at our hand, co-chairs, the PCST is there to support them. The PCST can provide for all of us ongoing tracking of expenditure as it occurred and estimate for completion. So those are the five control mechanisms. If we are today get input from yourselves and we get some agreement along those five, that will be a great step forward. Also, we need to be very specific in support of the co-chairs and be clear on what amount of the budget is their responsibility. Because clearly, the whole budget for many parts of the transition next year is 8.8 million, but not all of it is the responsibility of the co-chair. It's really a subset of that. So we need to have clarity on what is this subset. So with that, I will stop, and I think I'll pass on now, I think, to Mathieu, and then Mathieu will talk, and after this, we will have Xavier and Bernie talking again about the cost control. Any questions so far, or shall I hand over to Mathieu, and then we take the questions afterwards? Athena question. So, Mathieu, if you're, would you like to take the floor?
Thank you, Chairman. Just checking whether everyone can hear me all right.
We can.
Sound good.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much. And hello, everyone. This is Mathieu Vey speaking. I'm the CCNSO appointed co-chair of the CCWG Accountability. Just a few comments before we dive into the proposed cost control mechanisms from our side on the working group. First, we need to remind ourselves that Workstream 2 is actually 9 subtopics in addition to the subgroup that is working on implementing the independent review process enhancements. And this whole package has been agreed. It was part of the supplemental report that was agreed on by all chartering organizations and the board in Marrakesh. And this list is not expanding. So this is the list we've agreed on previously, and although it's a long list of items, it's something that is being explored right now, and the groups are starting to work as we speak now. So it is in order to support these groups that these estimates have been produced with remarkable support from the PCST and great insights from the Board Finance Committee as well. And I think what's important, I won't repeat everything that Sherin has already introduced, but is to remember that in the budget there is an $8.8 million figures that all the INS stewardship transition project expenses. And if you look, and you'll see that on the slides, at the expenses that are basically under some form of control from the CCWG, it's roughly $2.1 million. So it's important not to confuse the various types of expenses and maintain clarity on what the scope is. And obviously, the working group is willing to play its part into maintaining a reasonable and a financially responsible approach to cost management, but it can't be expected to manage costs that it has no control over, obviously. And I think that's well described now, well understood by all parties. Secondly, we can report now that we have had the discussion within the full cross-community working group. This was really important because as co-chairs or leadership teams, there are no powers for us to drive work or constrain the working group in any way until it has been discussed with the group. And I'm happy to report that the proposed mechanisms that are going to be introduced seem to be acceptable for our group so far. So it's a good way forward. I think it's the outcome of a very good discussion with the Board Finance Committee and with extremely helpful insight from the PCST. This particular type of support is greatly appreciated. So before diving into the mechanisms themselves, final reminder that the cross-community working group is established upon request from its charter, and the ESO and ACs are the chartering organizations. They are the organizations we are designed to report to with our recommendations. And it's really important for us to get your feedbacks in terms of whether there's still value in the work that is being planned. And even at some point, we'll have to question whether there's value for money in this. And that's the reason why we've reached out to the ASO and AC chairs in order to get your insights regarding the estimates, and we will certainly do so on the proposed control mechanisms as well. And I'd like to close by saying that at this time, regarding the estimates, we've received one answer from the chartering organization, which is an answer from the GAC. I think ALAC has also indicated some form of support way earlier on, but we're still waiting for feedback from the other organizations. That will be it for my comments at this point. And like Shireen, I don't know if there are any questions or whether we dive into the mechanisms.
Why don't we dive into the mechanism and then do it quickly and then open the floor for all discussion so everybody has all the details and the facts in front of them. Okay with everybody? All right. Shall I, Xavier and Bernie, in your hands.
Thank you, Shireen. I'll start off. And as you can see, these are actually the slides that were used with the CCWG accountability when we presented this topic. And just to be conscious that we want to have time for the questions, we'll go through this quickly. Do I have slide control? Let's see. Yes, I do. These are the topics. I think Matthew went through those quite well. As we talked about, the cost estimates for Work Stream 2, a reminder, is about $3 million U.S. And the CCWG accepted the notion that, yes, there should be a legal committee to filter, analyze, refine, ensure clarity, and approve the request for legal advice and determine which firm is best suited to respond. The process is that the committee will meet once a month, is based on subgroup requests documented and shared before the meeting. Rapporteurs may attend the relevant portion of the call. The legal committee ensures that the request is a legal issue and not a policy issue. And with support from the PCST, the legal committee tracks legal expenses with clear distinction between what is related to scope versus any other legal cost. Council may be invited to attend parts of the legal committee meeting to ensure clarity of expectations and context. Reminder, council participation to CCWG and subgroup calls is exceptional only, meaning that there is no expectation that lawyers will attend either the subgroup calls or the CCWG plenary. The CCWG accepted to reactivate its initial legal committee, which is being led by Leon Sanchez, also includes Samantha Eisner from ICANN, and you have the rest of the names there. In reality, the budget ownership, which the CCWG co-chairs will be the owners of the budget, if you remove the things that Shireen was talking about, which includes Workstream 2 and parts of the IRP, IoT, ends up being just a little bit over $2 million of the total of the $8.8 million that Shireen was talking about. So that sort of frames it. The guidelines for the legal committee is probably the most interesting part for this group. If ICANN Legal already has an answer available to the question, it can be shared immediately to avoid extra costs. This was generally accepted. So I think this is an important step. I think Samantha Eisner has worked very hard to bridge the gap with the CCWG after Workstream 1. And, there's an understanding that this is a new phase, and if ICANN Legal can help and proposes answers which will A, be much quicker, and B, will not bring on any additional costs, then the CCWG should use those, and there was absolutely no objection to that. The committee may direct the requests at ICANN legal or external firms based on a case-by-case assessment. Decisions would have to take into account costs, delays, respective skills, as well as potential requirements for independent advice. The committee is encouraged to use ICANN legal as much as possible. Fiddley and Alder will coordinate to decide which firm is best suited to address any requests that go their way. If the CCWG requests advice from Jones Day, Jones Day should either disclose that ICANN and not the CCWG is their client for purposes of the memo, or enter into an engagement letter, just to make sure that there's an understanding if Jones Day is being used. And there was an understanding that if Jones Day is capable of providing an answer more quickly and cheaply, then they should be used. And I think that supports, again, the notion that we're in a new era working with ICANN Legal and their external counsel. Once the LC has determined it needs to hire external legal counsel, it forwards the request with relevant details, including estimated costs and a report from the PCSD on the financial impact, to the co-chairs for approval. So the co-chairs are the budget owners, and once the legal committee has made a decision, then they cannot go out and hire any external legal counsel. They need to send that as a budget request with, if you will, a note from the PCSP on the impact so they can make a decision. The co-chairs will consider the request and the financial impact as soon as possible and provide a formal response to the LC, which will be documented on the CCWG Workstream 2 wiki if approved. So there was a lot of material here, and I see James has his hand up, so I'll be glad to take a question at this point. James?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Very well. Thank you.
Okay, great. And thank you for putting this all together. And I apologize if I've missed this connection previously, but in the fourth bullet point regarding CCWG requesting advice from Jones Day, I think I already know the answer, but if ICANN legal staff requests advice from Jones Day, will that also be submitted through this committee if that request is relevant to the transition CCWG Workstream 2? In other words, is this specifically to requests that originate with the CCWG, or will this legal committee also process Jones Day requests originating from ICANN?
Thank you for that question, James. Right now, if ICANN Legal is going to use Jones Day against the budget of $1.4 million for Workstream 2, the notion is that the legal committee is overseeing that.
Correct. So that this is Xavier. I just wanted to supplement that, James. If there is I think you can really look at it from the perspective of if it's a question that helps the work relative to WS2, and it requires legal advice, then it's a legal committee decision, including if Sam, as part of the discussions relative to a topic, would suggest that Jones Day can help, and that would be the sense of the committee, then it would be also something that would be managed through the committee as a request to Jones Day. I think that, of course, to put things in context, if I can, on a different topic or on a topic that's not related to WS2, needs advice from its legal counsel as a corporation, that would not be part of the scope of that of the legal committee, nor of the $1.4 million.
Thank you for that expansion, Xavier. Alan, I'm going to ask you to wait just 1 second. I want to see if Mathieu, who has his hand up, is just following up on that. Mathieu, is that the case?
Yes, thank you. Bernie. I want to stress what Xavier just said, because it's actually clarifying one of the last outstanding issues that we had so far. Xavier, if I'm quoting you well, you said that any request from originating from ICANN related to the TransUnion or Workstream 2, but that would not be upon request by the group, would not go through this legal committee. That's fine and agreed, and that was clear, but also would be outside of the scope of the cost that we've identified so far, the $1.4 million. I think if we can confirm that, that's the last outstanding issue for our group, which I was hoping to clarify in this call, so it would be really helpful if you could confirm that so we can report to the group. Thank you.
Thank you, Mathieu. So what I was pointing out is that legal advice in relation to the WS2 is part of the scope of and the mandate of responsibility, the model proposed, of the legal committee, whether it's ICANN legal in person, being Sam would suggest to use ICANN legal for the purpose for the WS2, or for any other purpose of within the WS2 or for any other firm, this cost would be within the $1.4 million. I was simply pointing out that if ICANN, as a company, needs advice from its legal advisor, external legal advisor, on anything else than WS2 or on a transition topic related but not part of a WS2, then it's not part of that envelope, is the bottom line. But if it's WS2 related, then it's under the scope of the legal committee, and the envelope associated to that overall advice WS2 is the $1.4 million. I didn't assume, and I think that was your question to clarify, Mathieu, I did not assume that ICANN Legal would direct advice on WS2 topics that would not be funneled and determined and therefore decided by the legal committee.
All right. Thank you, Xavier. And I think we're almost through this presentation, so we can go on to further clarification in the next part of the call. But I would like to go back to Alan Greenberg, who's been waiting patiently. Alan?
All right. I've got a whole host of issues, and I'm not going to try to raise them all now because we're going to run out of time very quickly. The first one is I really want clarity on what we are doing and what ICANN is doing, and I'm getting more confused as I hear comments. Mathieu sent out a message on the 29th of June, which broke down some things. One of them, however, is the one point, it says the $1.4 million is, this is in Workstream 2, is for external legal fees, and it's not yet been divided between the CCWG and ICANN. It sounds like now it won't be divided, and it's all CCWG. So I think we really need a nice clean table showing all the costs and which part the CCWG is responsible for, and, you know, exactly what is it. Because otherwise, we're working with a black box. There's an implication that things should go to Jones Day, and I think the wording used is if they can answer it. There's a trust issue that clearly is present with many members of the CCWG, and therefore there's discretion on not can they answer it, but will we trust the answer? And somehow, we need clarity on that. Can should not be the operative word. And there's also an implication that Jones Day's costs are lower than our external legal costs for other things. And again, I haven't seen any numbers like that. So if you're going to ask the chairs of the chartering organizations to take responsibility, I want real clarity, and I don't want mixed messages. And there's a number of other examples of things that have been said in both directions in this call. And instead of asking the questions one by one, I think we want real clarity. There's a number of other more specific issues on what the things include and what are the processes going to be, but I'll hold those till the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I think some of your points are good, and I see Xavier has his hand up. So before going to Byron, I'll give Xavier a shot at this.
It was an old hand, but nonetheless, I completely recognize the need for clarity from Alan, and I think that one of the actions that could follow this call for us is to probably work with Mathieu and the others to try to put together maybe a more succinct, simple, and clear document as to the scope, the buckets with the amounts in front of them, and which resources they correspond to. I think, Alan, that the details of the how each bucket would be managed and would be functioning, I think it will be a little bit more clear under that document. How far in the details do we go in the management of, or the description of the management of the cost may be challenging. I think there's been a fair bit of description relative to the legal committee in the documents that Bernie went over, and I'm not sure how much more detail can be provided on things that are yet to happen. But I think as long as the responsibility is well-defined and the scope of the costs managed is well-defined, I think that will help a lot. So I would take the action with Bernie to work with maybe Mathieu to put together a more straightforward, clear note that would contain the information that then defines very clearly the scope of what the mandate would be.
Thank you, Xavier. And you should lower your hand so I don't pick on you again. Byron, I see your hand is up.
Hi. Thanks, Bernie. This may be a question that's a little far in the weeds, so feel free to say so if that is the case. But I'm struck by the fact that the legal committee can basically direct all the budget, but I can... for issues related to WS2 would have to go through the legal committee. So does that mean that this committee could reject requests by ICANN for budget and legal advice on WS2? So if ICANN, the corporation, is requesting specific advice for WS2, which means it has to go through this pool of funding, but the legal committee could potentially block that or say no. Is that in fact the case? And then would ICANN be bound by that and not be able to tap into some other pool of money associated with it?
Thank you for that question, Byron. I see Mathieu has his hand up, and I think it would be probably great to hear from him on this one. Mathieu.
Thank you, Byron. I think that's a misunderstanding we're trying to clear up, and certainly we need to make that clearer in the document. But the idea is not that when ICANN needs expertise on working to related issues for its own sake, it is not going to pass through this legal committee. We are in no position to constrain the board, for instance, for asking for legal expertise. It wouldn't be a good approach. So I think the short answer to your question is no, that's not going to be the case, because this group and process applies to requests that are initiated within the CCWG. I hope that helps.
I will add a little bit. This is Xavier for the record. I think that's correct, Byron. I think in the sense of if legal advice is necessary for the purpose of each of the work streams of WS2 to ensure that the work goes through, then that advice is part of the envelope that's being managed by the legal committee. If ICANN legal, and it shouldn't be viewed as ICANN legal, it should be viewed as if ICANN needs the counsel of its external legal advisor on needs of information that pertain to ICANN as a corporation for its own advice, which is not a WS2 objective and purpose and ownership, even though it may be related to a topic that pertains to, I don't know, the accountabilities of SOs and ACs, but it's for the advice of ICANN, then ICANN, of course, can go to its general counsel like on this topic, like for any other topic, labor-related or litigation-related, whatever. But if the advice seat is in relation to pursuing, furthering the work of any of the work streams of WS2, then it becomes a scope of responsibility of the legal committee and of the decision of the committee to then decide which where to get the advice, the best advice, and to possibly suggest, no, we don't want to have Jones Day do this. We'd rather have this firm do this. And that's the decision of the legal committee. But I think maybe it's helpful to distinguish the need for advice from ICANN as a corporation to be advised by its external advisor versus the purpose of this WS2 work, which then is under the control and ownership of the legal committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. All right. I think what we've gotten to here is starting to clarify some of the points that Mathieu said we're on the last leg of, and I think this call will help that. Xavier, your hand is still up. If you don't want me to go back to you, please lower it. Let's finish off the slides, and then there can be some more discussion. I think we're at the end of the slides anyways. So that completes my part. Xavier, do you have some slides you want to show?
I think between Shireen and you, a lot has been said on the cost control mechanisms. I simply want to make a few comments. Shireen has pointed out on the needs and why we're doing this. At the end of the day, what we are suggesting through these cost control mechanisms is simply to use the leverage of what I would call common business practice to really support the work of the community in this WS2 exercise, and it's not limited, of course, to WS2. There's also the IRP work happening under this project, but it's simply to allow the work of the community to happen as effectively as possible, with the highest quality possible, and with the most effective and cost-effective approach. But the objective is to support the work being done. Then under a management of that activity that allows to minimize the costs while achieving the objective. So I think we need to be really clear that the staff and the board supports completely the use of the resources that are considered to be necessary to go through this work. And we all want the same thing, which is that we all complete the work that the WS2 project or part of the project is trying to achieve. And to do that, we need to put in place resources. We are simply offering to ensure that there is cost control mechanisms that then allow that work to happen in the most cost-effective fashion. But the objective is for the work to happen and to be completed. So I'll leave that aside. As a result, the mechanisms that we're offering are those that many of you practice on a daily basis anyway, so I should assume you don't know them. Of course you do. But it's simply to have a clear owner of the activities and the responsibility for directing the activities and managing the cost of the resources that support the achievement of those activities. That's the budget ownership that Sharon described. And I also wanted to clarify that within that ownership, we have tried to ring fence a little bit the authority that was effectively possible for the co-chair in the case of WAS to take on, and that's what Matthew explained earlier. We have suggested in agreement with everyone, I think, to carve out, for example, the management of the staff. Even though the staff is a resource that supports the work, it's difficult for an employee to be managed effectively under all aspects of responsibility of managing a resource by someone who's not within the company and who's not the supervisor of this employee. So we have suggested that the staff is excluded from the scope for that reason. Now, it doesn't mean that the CCWG co-chairs, if they would have the responsibility of WS2, could not tell to ICANN, in this case, maybe Teresa or Akram, we think we need more resources to help us with this. And can you please try to find a way to support this activity? So that doesn't mean that the co-chairs could not request or need more or different type of support. And they could not make that request because they don't manage that budget. It would be, in this case, a more client relationship, if you see what I'm saying, whereas the staff would try to accommodate the request or the needs of the group to ensure that staff support can allow the work to be done. Therefore, as a result, in the scope, and we'll make, to Alan's point earlier, we'll make this more clear in the note that I suggested we produce. Effectively, under the responsibility of the co-chairs, there would be the travel associated with the WS2 work of the community, so the supported travelers' costs, which currently includes three face-to-face meeting at ICANN meetings of the CCWG, and the legal costs, which we have discussed. Along those mechanisms, which we haven't touched a lot over the past few minutes, there is also, of course, the support that the WS2 co-chair and, of course, the rest of the project as well would receive from the PCST to help, one, communicate the costs of the project on a regular basis, just like for any project in any organization, the responsible for the project receives the information about on the cost on a timely basis, and also support the co-chairs in any analysis of cost that they would like to conduct to make sure the understanding of the cost is adequate and the predictability of the cost for the future is also adequate. So it includes understanding the costs that occurred, and of course, being able to forecast the costs that that would come in, and of course, the PCST would support that activity, which would then allow the co-chairs, as an element of the responsibility on budget ownership, to be able to redirect resources and possibly to request resources additional with under justification to be able to pursue and complete the work. I'll stop here and see if there's any other questions. I didn't want to go too much into details on the basis of what has already been said. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. Olaf, you said at the beginning that you had some points or comments to me on behalf of the GAC. Do you want to make those?
Hello, Jirin. Yes, actually, that should have been transmitted. It's a letter that went to Leon, Mathieu, and Thomas Rickett as co-chairs. I can spell it out, so, well, why not? It says as follows: the GAC welcomes the efforts of ICANN to better plan and budget the use of resources for any activity it undertakes, as the GAC believes that accountable and transparent planning is an essential element of good governance in an institution such as ICANN. At the same time, the GAC recalls the agreed understanding among the ICANN community, which has also been confirmed by the ICANN board, that Workstream 2 issues will be given the same priority, bearing, and diligence as Workstream 1 issues, so that the work carried out in Workstream 2 will be concluded successfully and within a reasonable time frame with results that are supported by the whole ICANN community. The GAC has no objection to your proceeding with this matter and presenting the proposed FY17 budget to the ICANN board for approval as estimated expenditure, with the understanding that it will be possible to request additional resources should this be necessary for a successful conclusion of all issues of Workstream 2. I remain at your disposal, and for any question, please email the GAC leadership. Best regards, yours sincerely, Thomas Schneider, Chair of the Governmental Advisory Committee. That's the full extent of the letter, and well, I think that says as much as we can say, at least carrying water for the GAC chair himself. Thank you.
Thank you, Olaf. I think we broadly all in agreement with the GAC with the GAC's letter. Alan, you said that you had further questions, but I noticed in the chat that you said you might probably put those in writing. Would you like to say something about that now, or do you want to put everything in writing afterwards?
Thank you, Shireen. I'll put them in writing, but I'll summarize now. I think I'm hearing that there's going to be clarity on the budget amounts. I would also like to understand how some of these numbers were derived. If you're going to ask us to come back, if we have to exceed them, and justify why we need to exceed them, I want to have some idea of how they were derived. I honestly don't have a clue how one is predicting what the legal costs are going to be, but obviously some rules of thumb have been used, otherwise we wouldn't have numbers with three significant digits in them. And, I think we need to understand that. We also are going to need reports coming back in a timely manner for how we're tracking these amounts, and I'm presuming we will get reports, we the co-chairs and the chairs of the chartering organizations, will get reports not only on the CCWG managed part but on the ICANN managed part as well, because clearly if the ICANN parts are being exceeded, we want to know that as well, because that means the estimates were not good. We need clarity on all of those things. There's some more specifics that I'll go into, but essentially, Xavier mentioned something about, you know, following good business practices, and that's all we're asking for. At least certainly that's all I'm asking for. That I don't expect people to be able to make decisions and take responsibility unless they have good access to the information. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions before I sort of wrap up the session and agree next steps? Okay. So let me try and wrap up the session. First of all, I want to say a great thanks to the CCWG co-chairs for the work and the effort they put in and their collaboration in putting these cost control mechanisms together with the PCSD. So thank you. And I really feel there has been a heightened level of cooperation and a feeling that we are in this together as a community, and not this is the BFC or the board and the committee. Let's all work together. So I fully support the approach and where we're going. Alan said he will send an email with a question that he would like to that he has highlighted, but he put it in writing. And just as a quick answer to one of your questions, Alan, yes, the report we will get from the PCST on a timely basis will be for the entire cost and not just the CCWG, i.e. the entire 8.8 million, because this is our cost as a community, whether it's ICANN, whether it's CCWG, it doesn't matter. This is our money collectively, and we need to keep track and control and report of it, so we'll definitely do that. After Alan sends his emails all the questions, Xavier and Bernie, working with Mathieu, will produce a note responding to those questions and the other questions from James and from Byron, but basically clarifying what is the scope, what is the budget, how Jones Day is going to be used, and so on and so forth. So all in all, my sense is that these cost control mechanisms are generally accepted by the CCWG as well as the BFC, and I guess at one point we will need some confirmation from the chartering organization that they are also in agreement with that, subject of course to the clarification note and all the questions being answered in this session. I see Mathieu's hand. Mathieu, your hand is up. Mathieu?
Thank you very much, Sharon. I wanted to also thank you and the BFC for the cooperative approach we've been using. As you mentioned, the co-chairs, we are willing to play the role in this with our best efforts to manage costs as efficiently as possible and even be budget owners, although we are volunteers. We all need to bear in mind that this is still a bottom-up, consensus-driven process. So there's a number of uncertainty factors here, but certainly I think we've setting the framework for efficient management here. I also want to reaffirm that we will need, and that was also mentioned by Alan, a lot of support from the PCST in terms of tracking, of reporting, of assessing impact of the potential requests. And this team is going to be highly needed in this process. And finally, I'm glad that that you could confirm that this process was sort of meeting your expectations after these discussions. We noted that in the letter that the budget, especially for legal advice, would be released once there's agreement on the cost control mechanisms, and it would be great if we could have some kind of time frame for receiving this sort of approval from the BFC to make sure everything is in place, and so that we can reassure the various groups that everything's in place for their work to proceed efficiently. So that's probably the last item I would appreciate some insight on during this call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mathieu. And quite right, you need that that approval. May I ask Alan and Byron and James and any other representatives, how long would it take for you to be in support of this cost control mechanism once we sent you this clarification note? Do we need another call, or is it okay to get this by email saying we agree, let's move on? Quick comment from Alan and Byron and James at this stage.
It's Alan speaking. I don't think another call would be necessary unless there's, things are far more obscure than you're predicting they're going to be. How long it will take to get the ALAC, I'm not authorized to approve something for ALAC, so I'm going to have to go through the ALAC. That will certainly take a week or so, maybe a little, maybe somewhat longer.
Thank you. Byron, James, any comments?
This is James speaking. Just to note that I think we, and I apologize, I have been off the grid for about a week here, but prior to leaving, I thought we had a pending request to have a similar webinar for the GNSO Council to, you know, possibly present these cost control mechanisms and also to address any questions that councilors may have from representing their stakeholder groups and constituencies. Presuming that all of that were acceptable, then I think the earliest we could approve this proposal would be sometime in our meeting, and I don't have the exact date, would be in September, early September, I think the first week of September, and that is, you know, probably our earliest opportunity to review and approve the proposal. But I would like to just reiterate that I think we would like to have another opportunity to go through these with the council.
Thank you. Byron?
Hi, Shireen. Our position would probably be more consistent with what you just heard from James. We would need to have bring this before our council, and certainly the webinar would be helpful, although I'm not sure it's necessary. But I would want to take this to the council. Based on what I've heard, it's my impression that it shouldn't be a challenge there. However, it would have to go through that process.
And time-wise?
Again, our neck, I'm going to have to get back to you in my next council meeting. I don't have the date at my fingertips.
All right. So just to try and sort of hopefully wrap all of this up in the next few weeks so that the various SOs and ACs during the first week of September could give us their response. Alan, when do you think you can produce your email with your questions?
I will try to get it out today. I've got a bunch of other calls and other commitments, but I will try to get it out today. And just for clarity, the ALAC position will be somewhat similar to what
sure.
Byron and James said. A webinar would be useful if you could produce one. If not, I'm prepared to, you know, raise the issues myself, but probably a webinar of some sort for all of the councils or committees would probably be a useful thing.
Is that one webinar for ALAC, one webinar for GNSO, one for CCNSO, or just one webinar for everybody together?
I would think one for everyone would be sufficient, but I won't speak on behalf of the other.
So we will. Is that okay, James and Byron? One webinar for everybody to ask a question?
You may want to schedule two just for time zones.
Okay.
Shireen, may I jump in for a second?
I was just going to come. Okay, go ahead. I just need to close the meeting. Go ahead, Shireen.
Sure. It's just on the logistics of these webinars and needs. James was referring to a meeting of the GNSO Council that was attempted to be organized a couple of weeks ago and couldn't, because of logistics reasons and availability. And I think he was referring to a GNSO Council where the Council could be asking their questions. Questions for both James and also Byron and maybe Alan as well. In the meetings of your councils or groups, is it useful to offer, and you don't have to answer now, maybe it can be confirmed later, is it useful that you invite us to present and then the decision can be made by your councils, which would allow logistically to avoid having separate webinars from your council meetings during which the decision would be made. And if that would be workable, then I would offer that we show up, in quotes, under your invitation, of course, at each of the CCNSO, GNSO, and maybe ATLAC council meetings to help present the information, answer possible questions, and then leave the groups make their decision. I'm just offering that as an alternative.
Okay. I've got James's hand and Alan. James?
Oh, sorry. So thank you, Xavier. And just procedurally, I don't think that's going to work for the GNSO. In order to make any kind of decision at the September meeting, we would actually have to have the documents submitted for discussion by, I think, August 22nd. So I think if we were to follow your proposal, we could do it that way, but the next opportunity then to take a decision on these proposals would be at our October meeting. And I think that probably moves the calendar out a little bit further than you would like. So generally thinking, if we were to do this within the confines of the existing GNSO calendar schedule, then it would stretch out into October.
Okay. Alan, your hand is up.
Yeah, the same would be true for us. Our next meeting is the last week, essentially the last week of August. So we couldn't make a decision at that meeting. And besides, cutting out enough time from our meeting for this kind of presentation, I think would be really difficult. Our meetings tend to be pretty full, and cutting out 30, 45 minutes, which I think would be required to present this reasonably and allow for questions, would probably be really difficult, so I would suggest a dedicated call. I don't much care whether it's dedicated for all three groups or just for or one by one.
Okay, all right. We'll figure out the logistics. So basically, we'll have either three webinars or two webinars, and we'll sort out the logistics and come back to you, to the SO and SE leaders with a proposal. In terms of when will you, so Alan will produce a letter by today or tomorrow. What about Xavier and Bernie? When will you be able to discuss with Mathieu in response and send the note out? Can we do this rapidly?
I would expect that over the next few days and maybe by the end of the week, possibly, we just need to check each other's availabilities, but I know Bernie and I are working and available, and we will make sure we help Mathieu and bring in Mathieu as little possible, but nonetheless to ensure we get that done within the next few days.
Okay. All right. So we will, just to summarize then, Alan will produce a note today or tomorrow. Xavier and Bernie would work with Mathieu and produce a response for everyone within a week. Three, we will try and hold webinars before 22nd of August. And fourth, we hopefully will get a response from the SOs and ACs by the 10th of September, whether they get an agreement or not with the proposed mechanism, subject to having those webinars held by the 22nd of August or something around that area. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, and thank you again to the CCWG co-chairs. Really appreciate the way we work together on this and where we're heading. I think it's a very good example of trust as well. We can trust each other and work together. This has been a very, very good example of that. So thank you, everyone, and meeting is closed. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Thank you. Kim, this is Rob. Let's coordinate the recording and transcript and make sure that Xavier and Bernie get copies of that so that it can go through the appropriate circulation. I'm not sure how this group has circulated that in the past, but I'm glad we had that for the folks who couldn't make it.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks, operator. Talk to you all soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You.